So we are continuing our series. There they are. our stewardship series, and it will conclude next Sunday. We've talked about bringing your pledge card forward. And just like probably you all are experiencing, I mean, we as a church are going to have some challenges in 2024. Our property insurance has gone up 20%+. Actually, and it went up 40 last year. And so, I mean, the insurance industry is crazy at the moment. And our electric contract, which we've been on for 3 years, is going to expire in May. And our rates are going to go up, like your rates are going to go up. And all the inflationary pressure that you're facing at your house, we face as a church. And for us to continue the ministry that we're doing, to continue the momentum that we have, we're going to need your help with that. And so this is going to be, 2024 is going to be challenging. But I invite you next Sunday to bring your pledge card, come forward, and lay it on the altar before God as you make a commitment to God. So we're continuing our series, Great is Thy Faithfulness, where we are reminding ourselves and celebrating how faithful God is to us. No matter what, God is going to be faithful to us, and he is ever more faithful than we are to him. And so we're remembering that as we go through this sermon series. And the first verse of this hymn talks about God's compassion, how much God has compassion for his children, that his compassion will never fail, that God does not change, that we will always find in him a compassionate and loving God. So our text today is probably the single most preached on story in the Bible. And it's the story of the prodigal son, which, by the way, I think is completely misnamed. It's not about the son. It's about the father. And it's about the love that the father has. And I mean, yeah, the prodigal runs away and comes back, but it's really a story about the father. So I have to tell you that I've not preached on this particular text in a long time. My middle child, Claire, has ruined it for me. I preached on it one time, and she at lunch looked at me and goes, "Dad, all you preachers say the same thing about this story. You always talk about how undignified the father was as he's running to meet his son, that they weren't supposed to do that. And you always talk about killing the fatted calf and that it was a big celebration that he's returned. You all say the same thing." So I hadn't preached on it in many years. So in honor of my daughter, Claire, I'm going to try and give you a little different spin to it today. Yeah. So our text today comes from Luke. It's 15:11-32. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For the son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, Your brother has come and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and he refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you. And I have never disobeyed your command. Yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, Son, you were always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. Love that story. It's a great story. I probably shouldn't have taken so long to preach on it again. Jesus tells this story. And by the way, this is Luke 15 is like the chapter about lost things. We talked of the favorite parables, the 99 sheep. They leave the one, they go out, they come back, they celebrate. And there's a theme that's happening here in Luke 15. It's about lost things being returned and restored. And I think that Jesus tells this story because it reveals our story. It reveals God's true nature. You can see it in this story. It reveals the very nature of God and his love for us. So the younger son comes to the father and says, I want my inheritance now, please. The gall of that young man. Jewish law dictated that the eldest son received 2/3 of the inheritance. So the younger guy got 1/3 of the property. And he left. Women, by the way, were not allowed to inherit property. So if you had daughters, it was really the role of the sons to care for the daughters and the wives. So this younger of the two sons basically says, Dad, I'm tired of waiting for you to die. Can I have my stuff so I can go have fun? Now, I don't know about you, but if my son said that to me, my head would spin around and I don't know what I'd do. I mean, the disrespect that he shows his father is really hard to fathom. Because it's exactly what he's saying. He's saying, I'm tired of waiting for you to die. I want my money. And God, well, the father complies. He just does it. And the text makes it pretty clear that the elder son received his 2/3. So it's like the father had given that inheritance to his son and maintained some kind of control over it. The father does not try to persuade him to stay. The father just complies with his request. This is stunning. He asks, and the father complies. In this, I think you see the nature of God. You see, God loves us so much that he has given us free will. Just like this son. We can take our stuff and go home. We can turn our back completely on God. God has given us free will, and we can do that. We have the ability to just turn away We have the ability to ignore his teachings and do what we want. If we want to take our ball and go home, God's not going to stop you. God has given you free will, and you can choose to love him. You can choose to respond to that love or not. It's our choice. God loves us so much that he has given us the ability to not love him if we so choose. This younger son goes off, blows through his inheritance, and things are pretty bad. He says, I'm going to go home and at least be my dad's servant, and I'll have enough to eat. I have this vision of him like going back home and walking and practicing his line. You know, he's probably saying over and over, Father, I have sinned against you in heaven. And probably says it like 100 different ways. How best can I say this? So he has decided that he is going to return home. The father sees him far off in the distance and runs to him. And before he can really even say anything, he is hugged, he is kissed, he is given a robe, he's given a ring, which means the father is taking him back in as his child. He's not going to be a servant. The father is welcoming his lost son home. He is so excited about it. So excited about it that he's going to have a party. His child had returned. He forgot about the disrespect that the son showed him by saying, I'm tired of waiting for you to die. Give me my money. He was just glad that his son had returned. I don't think it was happenstance that the father saw his son far away. I think the father was looking for the son. I think probably every morning and every evening he probably stood someplace and looked out into the distance, hoping to see his son return. He didn't just happen to look up one day and see his son returning. He was looking for that moment when his child would return to him. That's how God is with us. God is watching for you to return in those moments when we wander off like the sheep. Maybe get caught up in the things of life and we're not paying attention to our relationship with God. Or maybe we just turn our back on God altogether and say, I'm just too busy with my life to mess with you right now. God is watching for you to return. I would argue that he's not just watching, but he is pursuing you. He's like the shepherd that's out looking for that one sheep. God is wooing you, calling you back into a good relationship with him. He's always ready to welcome us back home. With open arms, one of our songs talked about. I will always be met with the open arms of God. And we know that when people return to God, there is a celebration in heaven. People, God loves you so much. So very much. I mean, this story of the prodigal son reminds me that God loves us enough to set us free. and that God has compassion for us, and he is watching. He is waiting. He's even calling us to return to him. He has nothing for us but mercy and grace and love. I think of this and I ask myself this question. What love is this? What love is this that God would die for me? It's a love that I really honestly don't understand. I sometimes even have a hard time accepting it, that God could love me that much. There's a song that was written by Carrie Job, and the title of it is, What Love Is This? And one of the verse and part of the chorus says this: Beneath the shadow of the cross, I'm overwhelmed that I keep finding open arms. What love is this that you gave your life for me and made a way for me to know you? Your God is a God of mercy and grace that has nothing but open arms for you. My question for you this day is, how will you respond to this amazing love? We can do nothing. God's given us the free will to do nothing. He's given us the free will to ignore him. But he's also given us the opportunity to respond to this love that resulted in the death of God so that you might be forgiven. So you can do nothing, or you can respond by giving yourself to God, all of yourself, not just part of yourself, all of you. So how will you respond to this love that God has for you? The mercy and the grace that has no end. What will you do? Let us pray. Oh God, what love is this that you would die for me, for each one of us, that you are ever ready to welcome us back when we fail, when we wander, when we turn our backs on you. You are standing there with open arms, waiting for that moment when we choose to return to you. And you come and meet us with mercy and grace and love. We thank you for that great love, God. We are so unworthy, but we are so grateful for it. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.